This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, let's talk some Bills. Sal is out at, or was at least, if he's not still there, out at the stadium for media day today. Sal, what's new?
Yeah, I'm not out there anymore, but I was out there all day today, Mike.
I have no doubt about that.
Almost all day. What is all day? What does all day constitute?
6 hours or more.
Okay, I got there at 10. 10:30, I should say. 10:30.
You don't qualify.
11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30.
No.
I would say it was not 6 hours.
Am I high with 6 hours? Maybe I'm high.
Did you have a meal out there?
I did.
Okay.
A couple hours at least on each side of it.
And I worked. I mean, I worked while I was out there. I did the morning show hit this morning. Went to the gym, so I have to brag. I went to the gym.
Me too.
Came back home.
Me too.
Changed.
I went to the gym.
Went
too.
To the stadium.
Bulldog spent all day at the gym.
There you go.
I was at the gym.
And then I'm back. So, all day. I guess all day as far as covering football is concerned.
You are not being questioned here. So, that's let's make that clear.
Yeah, your dedication to your craft is not.
No, it's not in question.
It's not up for debate.
How much time? Now we can say all the time. How much time have you spent on the playoff machine?
Lately, I go more to the New York Times. I used to do ESPN playoff machine all the time. Now I go to the New York Times playoff simulator, I think it's called. It might be playoff machine. And I go there at least a couple times a day, but much more so like on Thursdays when there's a game or a Monday night before the Chargers Chiefs and stuff like that when, you know, I can play with some things. But I definitely do it.
I had forgotten about the New York Times one, and I remember, since you mentioned it, liking it more. It's just better, better detail. What have you thought about the Bills' chances from using the playoff simulator?
Well, I think they're in a good spot right now, and obviously with their record, they can – I'm not going to say, it's okay to lose, but they can afford a setback somewhere along the way, and they can still be okay. Obviously, it would depend on – who they lose to, and that Pittsburgh game would loom a little larger than most. But at the same time, I hear one of the things that I hear people say is how monstrous that Pittsburgh game is. And I say, well, you know, Pittsburgh's got to do their part, though. It becomes monstrous if Pittsburgh is still winning. Right now, they're 2 games behind the Bills. You know, if the Bills win this week and they get to 8-3, right? And Pittsburgh, what's their record right now?
5-5.
That's right. I mean, what if they go to 5-6 or, you know, at some point? What if they're, you don't know. So, yes, that can be monstrous. So, my thought, Mike, is that the Bills are in a really good position, because the other thing I think that people forget about is there's 2 spots, not just one. And I always hear, well, Pittsburgh could catch them or Oakland could catch them. Look, that's right. But if one team catches them, you could still be in the 6th spot. Like, they're in a nice spot right now.
I think for me, the focus on the Pittsburgh game is not so much for whether or not they could catch the Bills and displace the Bills. It's more to me about if you're going to get to 10, that is your most likely game other than Denver and the Jets. I've got Denver this week. I've got the Jets at the end. This week is big too. But
you think winning at Pittsburgh is easier than winning here against Baltimore?
Yes.
Yes.
You both do.
I do, yes.
I think Baltimore here is a tougher game than at Pittsburgh. I think they're both tough for their own reasons, but I think Baltimore is just playing incredible right now.
I think you've got such talent at quarterback there. Like, you just, to me, like that's going to be a big job to handle that offense as opposed to Mason Rudolph at home. Like,
the Steelers are the Bills, Mike. I mean, they might be Bills light at this point. I mean, Mason Rudolph, I look, guys, his average length of pass for just completions, not like average length of pass for through the air to target, just completions, only him and one other quarterback who's chasing right now are less than five in the whole league. Like, they don't throw the ball down the field at all because they can't, and they have offensive line injuries. Juju Smith-Schuster's hurt. Like, they have a good defense. It's playing really well. That's a challenge for the Bills, but I think the Bills can definitely shut that offense down.
Okay. I'm not sure I disagree. It's just, like, the fact that it's a road game versus a home game. It's a six-point swing, you know, in terms of point spreads.
Right.
The Bills are fine. Your point about the Steelers and the Bills in that comparison is well taken. As long as the Bills are two games ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for now, they are two games ahead. Pittsburgh has the Bengals this week.
Right.
And like, as long as it stays there, you don't have that particular risk. If it gets to one, then you do.
That's right, and I agree with that. And, you know, Oakland is still there. You look, I mean, I think their schedule's a little bit harder than some of the other teams, but they're still – some very winnable games on their schedule. But like I said, if one team catches you, the other teams all have to keep winning for them all to catch you. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't just assume, just like you can't assume the Bills will win or lose. You can't just assume all these other teams are going to win all these other games either. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's got injuries right now. Oakland, they barely got by Cincy last week. Cincy had the ball a few times with chances to go down there and tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like the spot the Bills are in right now. And what sucks to me, though, when I do it every time is, I'll tell you this, it just sucks that you can't get them. No matter what their record is, they're going to have a better record, maybe, seemingly, than division winners. You know, and they can't win their division because of New England, you think, right? And that's pretty much the way it's going to go. But yet every time you do it, the Bills might wind up 10-6 and still being ahead of maybe two different 9-7 division winners.
Maybe. That could happen. That's not going to happen in, well, it could be the NFC East, I guess. AFC West, possibly.
Right.
AFC South,
the
possibly.
South could be. Yeah,
yeah, we've been pointing out since like week three that a realistic outcome this year is the Bills go on the road in the first round and play a team that they have a better record than.
Yep,
and then we'll have fun with that story that week, which is like, wait, why isn't this a home game? Whatever.
Right. We've had fun debating that over other years when it was, you know,
other teams.
Whatever, Seattle hosting New Orleans or whatever the hell it would have been.
Like, yeah, that's one of those games.
That might have even been under 500, right?
Was that was maybe 10-6 versus 7-9. That's
nine.
The beast mode game
right,
that Seattle wins.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It also will help, Sal, if the AFC South, we went through the schedules for Indy and Houston. I don't think we got to Tennessee and Jacksonville, but if everybody there just sort of keeps beating each other, that would be good.
Yes.
Like, if they can eliminate the potential for a second team, a wild card team to come out of that division because they just keep cycling through, you know, knocking each other off, great. Like,
yeah,
right now,
right.
I'm like, go Tennessee, go Jacksonville. You know, like, they're not in it really, I don't think, but, you know, if they can take a win here or there away from whoever doesn't win the division, all the better.
Totally right, Bulldog. I mean, every year we see the AFC South basically cannibalize itself, right? I mean, that's what they do. There are certain teams, and I don't know how it goes. I got to go back and look. But there's like one team that can't beat another, but that team can't beat the other team. It's really weird how it works out. And every time they play, it seems like one team dominates, like A dominates B dominates C, but C dominates A. I don't know. It's something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know which teams those are. But with all that being said, here's a great example of everything we're talking about. Thursday night, tomorrow night, the Colts are playing the Texans. And yeah, one team's going to go 7-4 and lead the division. You know what happens to the other team? They're suddenly 6-5. Like, they drop a game. So that's great. They're just going to keep playing each other, giving each other losses. And I think, to me, you just want to keep having that happen. The more losses, the better. And there's an argument to be made, certainly, for when people say to me, who do you want to win? And this was evident in the Monday night game, Chiefs-Chargers. And I could make an argument and say, well, you want the Chiefs to win because you want them to pull away and give the Chargers another loss and kind of bury them. But you could also make the argument to say, just keep giving them each as many losses as possible. So therefore, you want the Chargers to beat the Chiefs. And I think that's the case maybe tomorrow night in the Colts-Texans game.
Sal Capaccio with us. The Colts did win the first meeting this year, if that comes up on your mind as you watch this game and plan for it tomorrow night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Sal joining us on the West Hur Hotline. What do you think of Denver? Here again, it's a game where the Bills are four games better than their opponent. That was the case when the Bills went to Cleveland, and as we talked about at the time, they were an underdog for that game in Cleveland. The game came in right at about the spread. If this game were in Denver, the Bills would be an underdog in Denver by like two. Here, they're a four-point favorite. What do you think?
I watched them on film. I think they're a really talented team that has just not enough talent to get to the finish line. They've lost several games in one possession. by one possession, and they've lost several of them in the last possession of the game, by the way. They've blown fourth quarter leads this year. They're in a quarterback situation where Brandon Allen is not going to be – he's nothing like a lot of the other – well, I guess the better quarterbacks maybe the Bills have faced this year. You know, he's not on the level of most of the really good quarterbacks you'd face. He's only getting his third NFL start, only second start on the road. And I think that's a nice benefit for the Bills here to be able to have a matchup there like that. But, man, guys, they have an ability to get to the passer, you know, with Von Miller especially. They had, five sacks last week, I think it was, against Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. Their pass catchers are really good. Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, they were making contested catches like all over the field. But, you know, there's some opportunity. I don't love their offensive line. I think the Bills can maybe, you know, get after Brandon Allen a little bit, and I think he can be forced into making some poor decisions. Luckily, his guys bailed him out of a few of those last week, but I love the way he just says, I'm going to give my guy a chance in certain situations. And then I don't think their secondary, as much as they have talent in their secondary, you know, they're not just locked down or anything like that. There's some plays that you can make on them if you have time.
A little more on Brandon Allen, because it strikes me as you're talking about him, Sal, that it's quite possible that I've never known less about a quarterback that's about to play the Bills. You know, I mean, I've been doing this job for a long time. I take it relatively seriously, despite how it sounds sometimes, but I just have not seen Denver play since he's been playing, and I don't remember him in college at all. I'm just like, who is this guy?
Remember him playing for the Sabres, the tank year?
Is he a big guy? With Zach Delpy on his
they
wing?
They were on the same line.
Is he a big guy? Can he run? Big arm? Like, what's the Sal scouting report on Brandon Allen?
Should we have Brandon Allen trivia? Do you want to guess what college he went to, Bulldog?
Murray State.
he was with the Rams in like the summer. He's been on the Rams. Last year he was maybe on the Rams
Okay, let's start here. Let me ask you both this. Do you either of you know how many years he's been in the league or how long he's been in the league?
It's like four or five years.
Yeah, wow. He's been in the league 4 years.
Way
can
ahead
you,
of me.
Can you believe that?
I would have guessed two at the most.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but this is the first time he's ever played.
Yeah.
He's never played. He's been in the league 4 years. He came out of Arkansas. He was the quarterback at Arkansas, actually drafted, not undrafted, sixth round 2016 with the Jaguars. He bounced around. And he's been with the Jaguars and then the Rams, like you said, Mike. And now he's thrown into this situation where they don't really even – I don't think they really want him to start, but they can't start Drew Lock right now. He's not healthy enough. They need Drew Lock to play. They need Drew Lock to see what he can do, but he's not quite there yet. They know that the Flacco thing is gone. Like, that was just – that was dumb in the beginning for them to even do that, but they need to move on from that. So he's kind of their guy just – kind of plan to bridge the gap here between Flacco and getting to their future hopeful quarterback in Drew Lock. And look, he's not the biggest guy in the world, 6'2", but you know, I wouldn't say he's necessarily really small.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way he moves. He's not a running quarterback per se. He gets out of the pocket. You know, a lot of things they did last week, that first half, they had a really good first half. They run gadget plays, like little ends around, thing like that. They get him out on the perimeter. They boot him, stuff like that. He'll run the quarterback sneak. I just like, I think this kid screams to me, a kid that's been in the league 4 years, he's doing everything he can to stick on a roster, so he just goes out there and tries the ball as hard as he can. That's what he looks like to me.
It might be right to consider the Broncos and Bills very similar.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos are fourth defensively in points allowed. The Bills are third, or yards allowed, that is, or seventh in points, Denver.
Bills Mike, are third I, Mike I'm going to say this. I think, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, but I actually have thought for a while, I think the Bills actually match up better with the Cowboys than they do with the Broncos. I think this is a tougher matchup for matchup, unit for unit. I think this is a tougher matchup for the Bills than next week against the Cowboys.
Okay. Well, I respect this. I mean, I think it's 100% right and necessary to respect this opponent. I mean,
yes.
I don't worry about that for the Bills. Who were we talking to the other day where, like,
looking past them,
yeah,
or anything like that?
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, right.
I don't see that as an issue with this team at all. They have really been nowhere together yet, so they would be focused like that, I think. Denver also 20th in points. The Bills, 20th in points. Denver, 27th. So the total in this game is like in the 30s. I don't know what the weather is like, but it's probably going to be a tough game. And if the form of the two teams through the season holds, the Bills will win it in the fourth quarter in a close one.
I don't want to dwell on this here because you said you don't want to put the cart before the horse, and we'll have plenty of time here. Although next week's a short week, so I'll just squeeze this in. Mm-hmm. You say that about the Dallas matchup, Buffalo matching up better with them because of Buffalo's pass defense more than anything else?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, look, I think Dak Prescott has done some nice things. Last week he had a heck of a football game, right? But I still would say that if you overstack Prescott to have to beat you, you know, I think that you can give yourself opportunities, and they're not – he's more of a game manager still to me, even though he threw for a lot of yards. And I think the Bills can do right about by those kinds of quarterbacks, you know, game managers, guys that aren't going to kill you with the big play. They do have good players, obviously, Amari Cooper. We know Zeke Elliott, who, by the way, hasn't been great as of late. Mm-hmm. That's a big reason why. But here's the thing. I think the Bills' offense – if you look at Dallas – now, I know their defensive numbers are actually fairly good – but you look at their schedule, it's kind of similar to the Bills. They have not played juggernauts of offenses, guys, and I think they've been in some games where they've allowed points. So I think the Bills might be able to, next week we might be in for a little higher scoring game than people may have thought originally between the Bills and the Cowboys, where I think this week should be a lower scoring game between because this is a tough matchup.
I have not thought about that very much yet. I'm excited to already. There is a line, Dallas minus 6.5, that I've seen for Thanksgiving. Mm.
That's not all. That's not like a huge number on Thanksgiving for a road team at Dallas. That a pretty good Dallas team.
No, that's right. What's the deal with Jerry Hughes being on the injury report?
He had a groin last week that popped up late in the week. He still wound up playing on Sunday. It was a game time decision. My sense is this is just kind of, you know, same thing. They just want to get past this, and they're still working on him. So they're giving him a day today to recover, rest, whatever, but it's still an injury, so they have to list it as, you know, on the injury report. You know, people don't realize how durable Jerry's been, guys. He currently is the number two defensive end in football in consecutive games played. 125 consecutive games played for Jerry Hughes.
All right, look at that. That's a nice number in, like, Bill's history, too. That's going to be a nice number.
Who's at number one, do you know? Did you just know that he was?
I believe it is Carlos Dunlap.
Okay.
I was going to guess. I was just about to say Carlos Dunlap.
So Nsekhe is already been ruled out, right? He's not going to be available for this game in maybe a couple weeks. We think or no? Let me try.
I just found it, guys. It's Cameron Jordan. I'm sorry.
Cameron
Jordan of New Orleans, Saints. 138 straight games. Jerry Hughes, 125 straight games.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Here's the thing, though. When we saw what happened to Ty Nsekhe, it looked pretty nasty. Like he was in a lot of pain. He was getting carted off. For Sean McDermott to not say today that he's out for the year, which, you know, obviously maybe he doesn't play the rest of the year, but for Sean McDermott to term him week to week, I think that's good news, actually, that, you know, it seems at least now that they're not ready to declare him out for the year. Maybe there's a possibility he comes back, so let's hope for the best on that. But in the meantime, obviously he hasn't been officially declared out this week, but if you're week to week and it's your first week, he's not going to play.
Right.
So, obviously that means that Cody Ford is going to have to play.
Right, and that's Von Miller?
Yeah, that's Von Miller.
Okay.
You know, people have been talking all year about the platooning of Cody Ford and Ty Nsekhe, and I've been telling you guys they've been a better team with Ty Nsekhe, but they've done this platooning. Honestly, this is kind of why, right? Now you're in a situation where Cody Ford has to play, and here he is. He's played pretty much half the snaps anyway this year, so they've given him that experience. This is going to be a tough test for him. There's going to be things they're going to have to do. They might have to give him a little help over there. They can run things away from Von Miller, but you know, Cody Ford's also going to have to step up. He's going to have to play good football this week.
My sense is, and you might know better or different, is that they would realize they're better when Nsekhe's in there too, but it was really more about load management.
Correct.
You know, the injury was a freak thing. Somebody rolled up on him. But, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's had, like, leg trouble. He just sort of – we know we're good with this when this guy's here. We'd rather have him on the field, but the big picture, we want to make sure we have him available as often as we can. So let's just take turns and try to get through when he's not there. Now
and in the meantime, develop your young tackle,
right?
And give him snaps. So yeah, that's exactly what I think it was too, because it seemed to me that it was almost plain to see every week that they were just a better offense, not a ton better, but a better offense when Ty Nsekhe was in there. And Cody Ford was struggling with some, you know, some faster edge rushers.
Right.
And obviously Von Miller's going to pose a problem this week. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, but yeah, I think now it's just time where you say, okay, it's Cody Ford. You've had the training. You've been playing. It's been half a season. We've done this for this particular moment to make sure that you are ready in case this came up. And now here we are, and you got to step up.
Just one quick thing while you're on the line. Just want to say that I'm in a guillotine league that's down to six guys, and I have a Bill in my lineup. I'm very excited about that. Like, I actually have a Bill. John Brown.
Oh, wow.
He was great for me last week, and I'm down to, basically it's a 16 league, right? From the next week, it'll be five.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rolling with John Brown. This week, it'll be John Brown or Tyler Boyd. That was the case last week, too, and I got lucky because Boyd had like a nothing day for the Bengals, and Brown had his best day.
And I wouldn't want Boyd against that Steelers secondary now with Minkah Fitzpatrick, too, that's going to be, you know, basically playing on him. I think that's going to be a tough matchup. So Brown is your matchup this week, too, I think, your play.
Probably. Chris Harris for Denver. He's nice. Like, we've been over
he
it.
He is.
The defense is pretty
he's
good.
He's a nice player, but, you know, you look, and like I said, they're not getting the ball. They have, I don't know the exact number, they have some of the fewer interceptions in the league this year.
Five.
Yeah, so they're not getting the turnovers, but, yeah, they have talent back there.
Yeah, the total's 37. The Bills scored 37 last week. The Bills scored 37 last week against Miami. Thank you, Sal.
Okay, guys.
There you go. That's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearance with us brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, especially at this time of the year. What's your outlet?
All right. There's a lot to – I've got a lot on my list here.
All right.
There's been a lot of Saber anger. A little righteous anger out there.
It's all right. We can move it along. I can keep up. I'm good.
I'm not worried about that in the slightest. 803-0550, you want to get in. Sabres, Bills, and we also have other things to talk about. Travis Yost in 1 hour today. That'll be really good. He always is. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines open now. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We've been having bad breaks for sure, but also kind of been, you know, miscommunication some here and there, and we want to get back to what we're good at, and, you know we can play and come back to basic. We know we're a good team and, you know, start with Boston.
Middlestat.
It's
Artie Lang. Lonnie Anderson. Ooh, he hesitated. Is there an Anderson? Could it have been a different Anderson?
I
Olofsson.
Yeah. Right? No. Hold on. Rasmus Asplund. Wow, I really was excited about that.
Lou Ferrigno. Nick Saban. I'm pretty sure it was Nick Saban, actually.
I don't even have an Emmy to say.
Ed
Lovitz today. I don't know.
Sondland. What's his first name?
Garrett. Garrett. Sorry, no, that's your daughter's
name. It's my daughter's name.
And your
Bulldog.
Mother-in-law.
Sandy Beach.
Come on, seriously. I'm looking at the roster. Who the hell was that? Olmark?
Terry O'Reilly. Lou Rawls.
That wasn't Gergensen's. Sabakis hurt. I don't know. I'm out.
Johansson.
Yeah, he's hurt too.
He's back. Somebody's back.
No,
Larson.
No, no. Larson's back.
Yeah.
Stupid game.
Great game.
Well, they lost last night. You expect us to know how the hell these guys sound?
He's been here long enough.
I know.
Babcock was hired by the Leafs, May or June of 2015. Sabres were in on Babcock, as you may remember. Maybe they thought they had him. I think they did. Then he spurned them and went to the Leafs, and the Sabres hired Dan Bylsma. They're on their third coach.
They're on their third coach since Babcock. And this is just his fifth season there.
Yep, didn't make it through.
Bylsma 2, Housley 2, here we are. Ralph Kruger, and now Babcock's done.
I mean, it's stunning how that went south.
Yeah.
They have been one win away from the second round. I mean, as a cup favorite last year, they were close. They just lose to another great team in the first round, kind of like Sabres life in the late 80s, early 90s. And then the coach is out.
In a certain way, it's stunning. I mean, anytime someone who's that big a figure in hockey, I mean, he's a Canadian hockey, I mean, he's a massive, he's the coach of Team Canada, Olympics. I mean, he is just a massive figurehead in the sport. In that way, it's like, whoa, you know, the GM and his history with the Marlies coach and his own style, Dubas, the GM, versus Babcock. Like, that's always been a really – Babcock was hired. Dubas was maybe there as an assistant GM by then.
Maybe, yeah.
But
– I think so.
He had not ascended to full GM. Of course, Lamoriello was there for a while. But Dubas is – he's numbers. That's what the Sioux Greyhounds are all about. It's one of the reasons I was happy when they drafted my kid. That you know, I think they're a forward-thinking organization, and the new GM there is like that too. But so he's the GM, and you've got Babcock, who's, you know, I need Roman Polak on the penalty kill, so he's in the lineup. Like, it's a very different mindset, I think, and so that's always been maybe destined to blow up eventually.
My brother-in-law up there, I was there a month ago at the longest ago. It was 3 weeks ago maybe. And he said, Babcock doesn't make it to January. And they have not done very much winning since. So that exacerbated that, of course. You know, as you're winning, you just keep you put up with it.
Right.
He's out. It's a big story.
Yeah, hell of a thing. They're on a trip. They play, I just mentioned it, they play tomorrow in Arizona and then Saturday in Colorado. So, like, that's, you know, it seems like things like this usually happen when a team is at home. You know, like, it's a little crazy. You got to fly the other coach out there and he's going to, take over. And
well, Keefe is on the bench, isn't he?
No, he was the Marlies coach.
Who did they have? Didn't they call somebody up? Didn't they call him up?
I don't know. No, because Owen and I talked about this on our drive to UMass.
Okay.
And he checked, and so I'm taking his
I thought
word
they promoted
it.
Him, but.
Yeah, no, I think he was still the AHL coach.
Okay. Here's Don next. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, look, thanks for taking my call. You know, I've been a Sabres fan since 1970. I was at the first game at the Odd against the Canadiens. You know, we lost to a bad team last night. And, you know, I blame Jason Botterill for some of this. You know, you got like Sobotka and Gergensen and Larson. These three guys shouldn't even be on the team. And the goaltending is average at best. I mean, even last night, Allmark, he made all them great saves. And the third goal he let in was horrible. A kid could have saved. A little kid in Pee Wee hockey could have saved that. I mean, the goaltending is average, and that's it. I mean, that's all it is average. But you got Sobotka and Larson and Gergen. They shouldn't even be on the team. This is ridiculous. And I blame Botterill for some of this. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, you probably should know what we think. Two of those three guys were not even in the lineup last night. So it sounds like you're sort of linking them to last night.
If it continues to the end of January, I mean, you'll be able to buy a ticket to a game for $5 or $10 like last year.
That's been true for years. Yep.
This is ridiculous. I mean, they lost. I mean, if they lost to Boston last night or Colorado or whatever, I guess, but they lost to a bad hockey team, a bad team. And I just think, you know, going back to the O'Reilly trade a couple of years ago, you know, and then he gets MVP in the playoffs. We got three average players for him and an average goalie, and that's all we got. We got four average players for a great player.
Okay, hang on. Thanks, Don. They did not trade for Carter Hutton. They signed Carter Hutton. They, you know, averages may be a nice way to put that. Sobotka was statistically, arguably, the worst forward in the NHL last year. They got Tage Thompson, who was in the lineup all the time and a drag on it. And then they got Berglund, who quit the team like a month or so into the season, just shockingly, whatever. He just quit the team. And I think a lot of us at that time thought that was kind of good news because that was more money that they had to account for more than one season. And anyway, so, and they got a draft pick in there too for O'Reilly.
Yeah.
That ended up being the last pick of the first round because they won the Stanley Cup with him.
Right. And that's, whatever. Does anybody care who that guy is right now? It's a promising young defenseman that can really move. We'll see. You know, it's, he's, you know, he's not walking through the door and fixing any of this right now. Or in the foreseeable future. It's going to be a while, but whatever.
It's a terrible trade.
Yes,
I mean, I'm sorry to, I'm not trying to focus on the details, but those are the details. At least most of them.
Yeah. The third goal, I don't know. Like that's, it's a horrible play by the team. Like the guy should never be that open. So I sometimes can be guilty of having a blind spot about the goalies, you know, because my kid's a goalie. So I try not to. I didn't really think that much about whether I should have gotten a save there, and maybe I should have. That's my own failing. I was more mad that the guy was all alone again at the back door. Like that's the focus for me on that goal. It's like, how does somebody not get the guy? Can we get the guy? That's what you got to do there.
And goaltending, again, this year is really not the thing. It's not. It was in the beginning. It's the biggest reason why they were 8-2. The save percentage was through the roof. But just like when Robin Leonard was here, there are certain fans that would be like, the goaltending. The goaltending is not incredible. It's not the Hasek years. It's not the problem either.
No. To me, the save percentage that you were getting earlier was a result of – there's certainly some luck. I mean, there's a lot of everything that goes into a number like that team-wise, the goalie, the shooters, whatever. But what you were doing, the reason I'm focused on the play that leads to the goal is those plays weren't happening as frequently early in the year because the Sabres were playing in the other end a lot. And now I'm stuck, and I've got defensemen just coming in from the point, and nobody is seeing them. I don't know. Like those plays start to happen, and that's where you lose me. That looks like last year to me. That goal last night, the third goal, looked like last year to me.
The problem is they can't score. It was the problem last year. It might have been the problem the year before that. It is the problem this year. At 5-on-5, this team cannot score. They've got one guy who's great at it. They've got another guy who's pretty much great at it. That's it. They just do not have the team that can score 5-on-5. That is it. It's not the goaltending. The goaltending isn't great. It shouldn't have to be great for you to have a decent team, let alone a good one. That is the thing. Their power play was great the first 10 games. They won a lot. The power play and the goaltending, that is not how you sustain a good season.
The power play was cruising at like almost a 50% clip.
Ridiculous.
25% is good in the league. Like that's top five in the league. And they're like in the, like 11th or 12th now. They haven't scored in like,
2 for 37.
Yeah, right. And so,
But that, you know, you should see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Even the top teams, you should see that coming. You can't score on 5-on-5. That's what has been the problem. That's what is the problem. That one play. Here, Don, okay, thanks, Don. I mean, maybe. But that's just not really the nail on the head, I think.
All right, we'll keep this going here. Lots more to be said. Travis Yost, our buddy from TSN, coming up at 5:30 to weigh in on all of it. Right now, I want to talk to you about CarShield again. You know, computer systems and cars are the new normal. From electronically controlled transmissions, you've got your touch screen displays, dozens of sensors let you know if someone's in your blind spot, backup cameras, all this stuff. Like the advanced tech is awesome and really convenient. But it's expensive to fix if and when it breaks down. That's why you need CarShield. CarShield has affordable protection plans that can save you thousands of dollars for a covered repair, including those computers and GPS units and electronics and more. You get to choose your plan, choose your favorite mechanic or dealership to do all the work. CarShield takes care of the rest. They even offer free 24/7 roadside assistance and rental cars while your vehicle is being repaired. CarShield's helped over 1 million customers, so drive with confidence knowing you've got coverage from America's number one auto protection provider, whether you have 5,000 miles or 150,000 miles on your current vehicle, it's inevitable, man. Something is going to break down. So get covered by CarShield today. Call 800-CAR-6000, mention the code Bulldog, or visit CarShield.com. Use the code Bulldog to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Bulldog. A deductible may apply.
What?
Sorry, I thought it was going to kick in sooner than this, so I was waiting for it to hit a certain spot, and I waited too long, and it was a bad read by me. I apologize. Here's TSO tickets for you. We got a pair right now.
Clock in your head, right? Head on a swivel, the clock in your head. You got to throw it.
Yeah, I got sacked. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Saturday, December 14th, 8 p.m., KeyBank Center, minimum value $80, courtesy of Metamorphic Concerts. General contest rules apply. Yeah, I was waiting for this part to kick in, and I said, yeah.
You got sacked just like Pochettino.
I did, yes. Right. Mourinho. It's hilarious. Love it.
Awesome.
Yes. Tickets.com for your, you can buy these tickets. You can win a pair right now. 644-9878, caller 5. Good luck.
I agree. I echo that.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. Brian is with us. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, or after evening, I should say.
Sure, whatever you want. I'm going to fight about it.
After evening.
You like that, don't you?
I don't think so. Anyway, go ahead, please.
Sorry, guys. I just wanted to touch base about the last guy that called about Gergensen's and that line. I think that he's an important player for our team. Despite the high draft pick, I think that guys like him are important. That fourth line this whole season has spent most of the time on the ice in the opposing end, you know. So I don't like everybody being a super critical of him. I know that, you know, points-wise we're not putting him on the board. But I think that just the hard work and stuff plays a role in his important spot on our team. And then furthermore, I think that we've got to get some goal scorers on our team. Like, I think that you guys were right just a few minutes ago. You know, our goaltending isn't necessarily the problem. The goal scoring is.
Yeah, the goaltending is definitely not the problem, I would say. It hasn't been great the last couple of years, but it's not why they lose overall.
I don't think so either. I don't think they have a number one moving forward right now in-house. I think that's Luukkonen whenever he gets here. But it's not a crisis or anything. Look, on Gergensen's, you know, there's all kinds of places you can get goal scoring from. Yes, they need another forward. They needed another forward all summer. That was the defenseman trade that never happened. It was crying out for another guy up top to give you two. You want balanced scoring? Then get me two lines that have some balance, where I've got players that are proven scorers and that can get me goals and be dangerous. Like, that helps a lot. And that is not Marcus Johansson, and that is not Jimmy Vesey. I'm sorry. It just does not qualify. So that's on the GM for not upgrading the high end. Another place you can get some production is from a guy who plays 14 minutes a night in a role that's more of an energy role, but like can chip in more than a couple goals a year. And that's what Gergensen's does right now. So the fatigue about he and Larson, no. Are they getting you beat every night? No. Are they playing in the other team's zone? Yeah. Are they getting goals while they're doing it? No. You know why? Because they're not that good. Like they play that role, and I respect the price they've paid to be in the league and all of it. I don't mean to like just slaughter them, but you know what you're going to get production-wise, and it's barely anything. So why not try something younger and newer there that can also check and maybe score, I don't know, 5 to 10 goals instead of 3 to 6 goals in that role? That's a place that would help.
In terms of controlling play, this year started pretty well for those guys at the bottom, but it's not like it's just insanely good. It's tapered off some. In past years, it's been really rough. It was the worst thing about this team last year was bottom six forwards. And it's, again, like to be at the risk of being repetitive, it's incredible that they're all back. Sobotka is the worst defender. He's the worst defender again this year. He's not always on the fourth line or even usually, or ever, maybe. He's been playing higher. Mm-hmm. But still, like, they get beat when he plays. And this has also, of course, been true of Ristolainen his entire career. Get rid of, for once, the players who are making your team worse. You want to commend Gergensen's work ethic? Great. the next guy will supply work ethic. There are a lot of people who could do it.
That should
maybe one of them has puck skills.
Right.
Like, come on, the next guy will do it too. And the fans are exhausted.
Right. If anything, that's a reason to have made the change, because you're talking about replacement level guys, and like, why keep trotting them out there indicates that you have some value placed on them that really does not exist.
The team has been terrible for years. Gergensen's and Larson played with Drew Stafford on the Sabres. They were on Hodgson's team. They were here before Eichel arrived. Come on.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Come on.
Yeah.
I like Larson more than Gergensen's. Larson, if it's one or the other, it's Larson for me. But why is it a big what are we holding on to this for? So desperately, so dearly. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just turn the whole thing over. It's so depressing. Call's coming up.
Yep, we'll continue. Travis Yost coming up at 5:32. Right now, I am here to talk to you about pizza, and specifically Franco's Pizza. When it comes to pizza on a game day, game night, any day or night, really for that matter, it doesn't have to be a game night. It can be a game night just in your house, the kids and their fall and winter sports, whatever, right? Always remember, Franco's, and Franco's means fresh. That means fresh sliced tomatoes and other vegetables, fresh meats, cheeses, dough made daily, pizza sauce made daily. You can really taste the difference each and every time you order now. Speaking of fresh, Franco's always coming up with fresh ideas for their specialty pizza menu. The latest craze, the stuffed banana pepper pizza topped with hot banana peppers, melted mozzarella, fontanella cheese, and crumbly blue cheese all over a delicious garlic sauce. You want to branch out on your wing flavors? Jamaican jerk barbecue sauce is new at Franco's. A little sweet to start, finishes hot. Franco's, 5 great Northtown locations. Call them for pickup or delivery, or use the website. There's even a mobile app if you prefer that. I like the website. Really easy. Franco'sPizza.com. Easy to navigate. Get real specific with what you want to order, how you want it prepared. Choose your delivery or pickup time, and pay online with a debit card or a credit card. I even tip the delivery driver that way. That way I don't have to sweat whether or not I or my wife has, or the kids, I guess, have any cash on hand to take care of that. It's all done at francospizza.com. Game day or any other day, always remember, Franco's means fresh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.